Joining us in a studio, Ilana Steyn. Ilana is our very own Jewish Greta Thunberg. Ilana, how does that make you feel?
I don't know what to say about that. That makes me feel insulted, actually.
No, but I'm sure we meant it very positively.
In a very positive way.
Yeah, I can't think how, but I'm sure it must. Okay, no, but in all seriousness, you know, you came into studio once to school us on the abalone story, and I have to tell you that it was one of the first interviews that we've had that I actually could take seriously, because it wasn't just about hysteria, it was actually about trying to understand the facts and the issues around it. And when I was thinking about Tu B'Shvat yesterday and the Festival of the Trees and all of that, I realized that we were woke way before Greta. Way before Greta.
Exactly.
So, you know, that little Swede wants to try and take our heritage. Well, that's cultural appropriation. Am I right there, Zanati?
Yeah.
Zanati is about to distance herself from anything I say on this show moving forward. But anyway, all right. So is she Swede or Norwish? Norwayish.
She's Swedish.
There we go. Okay, so we're fine. At least I was accurate in my racial discrimination. So but environmentalists looking after our environment, sustainability. You know, we've got the issue of the Shemitah year, which I don't know if it is an environmental, if there are environmental advantages. But in fact, Judaism and Jewish culture has actually embraced this for many years. Give us that sense.
Okay, you're absolutely right. I do like to these days say that we were BG. Before Greta, many, many years she even existed. In fact, we're talking 2,000, 3,000 years ago, obviously. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think there's a number of things.
We flew nowhere, by the way. We flew nowhere.
We used camels and horses.
Right, exactly. So. Exactly. Just want to make that
point. So the truth is that is actually, I think, the starting point is that if we look at this from a Jewish perspective, I always have the two perspectives. There's the environmental perspective, where I would like to state in terms of, you know, the current hysteria, I think there's a lot in environmentalism that isn't hysterical, but it's been taken over in that way. So what's really interesting is to look back at, well, what does the Torah say from a reasonable point of view? The Torah is based and comes from a time when we were primarily an agricultural society. Mm-hmm. That means that we lived on the land and off the land.
Right.
That meant that, as I always say, you didn't buy your tomatoes at Woolies in a plastic packet. You literally had to work the land yourself. And so there are a number of laws that actually go according to that. In terms of Tu B'Shvat, it's quite an interesting thing, and then I'll segue back to sort of sustainability. But Tu B'Shvat has ended up being what's called Jewish Earth Day, mainly from about the 1980s. But where it started was a tithing process. It was a measurement of the tithes of you had to take 10% or thereabouts of your fruit crop. SARS really comes to mind here. Where on the day of the 15th of Shvat, which was yesterday, that would be your cutoff point. So any fruit that had grown and been harvested in the year between the two, but from Tu B'Shvat yesterday to Tu B'Shvat last year, that was considered 1 year, and that you would take from
that. That's how you'd calculate.
That's how you'd calculate. And then anything from now onwards gets calculated into the next year. So it's very practical, really, in terms of keeping a society going, making sure that you're taking some of your wealth and giving it to those who don't have. So it's kind of about that. But then once the Jewish people are exiled, there's no such thing as tithes, as bringing things to the temple, etc., obviously. And so Tu B'Shvat takes on this nostalgic view of remembering the land of Israel and the beautiful fruits of the land of Israel. And this custom arose to, on Tu B'Shvat, make sure you had a fruit from the land of Israel. How they got them in Poland and Germany, is amazing. And they would really appreciate it and make a blessing on it. And so it takes on this other angle, really, which then becomes Kabbalistic in the 16th century. We won't go into that. Finally becomes Zionist. with the planting of the trees from the early 1900s.
Right.
And that idea of afforestation, of making the desert bloom, etc., that's the moment, I think, where the idea of – it's always been about trees, but now it's about planting trees to help our environment. And so it's kind of a natural segue, I think, into then Jewish Earth Day, which is all about trees represent really sustainability because we tend to cut them down a lot. And look what's going on in the Amazon rainforest, really. The effects and the repercussions are big. If we plant them, we are gaining in oxygen. We're gaining in trees give everything, give so much to us, as well as beauty, but also shelter, food, shade, etc. And so that acknowledgement of the tree then extrapolates out into this idea of Earth Day, of appreciating the entire Earth. So that's just the history of Tu B'Shvat in a nutshell, but that takes us to the idea of sustainability. The law of sustainability. So let's just talk about what sustainability is. Sustainability is making sure that you have enough, but that there is still the option and not just leftovers, but there's the ability for your children and your children's children to have. That's really what sustainability is, which is very reasonable.
Not unreasonable.
Not unreasonable.
Yeah.
So, it's not even woke because it's actually logical, right? So,
in fact, those might even be mutually exclusive.
Yes.
Yes.
That's true.
Right.
Very good point. So the law of sustainability comes from Deuteronomy.
Right.
Where there's a law about when you go to war and you're besieging a town. Right. As one does.
As one does. Raping, pillaging.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. As we do.
As we do. You may not cut down fruit trees.
Right.
To use as battering rams and et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Right.
Because those give you fruit. You take it all down. That's a scorched earth policy. You're going to end up with nothing to eat the following year. Simple. So don't take down the fruit trees.
Is that where the fruit tree thing comes from?
Yes.
And that's also got quite a strong Kabbalistic connection.
Very strong.
You know, that you don't cut down fruit trees. I know that anybody that cares about this sort of thing and is doing a renovation always has this problem. There's a fruit tree. Can we move it? Can we replant it?
Exactly.
And it's a very, very complicated story.
It actually is much more complicated than people think, but it's actually not even Kabbalistic. There's a Kabbalistic element or a sort of spiritual element to it, but it's actually halachic. It's actually a law that is talked about in the Talmud over a number of pages, actually, dealing with if you've got a fruit tree, but it's old and, you know, can you remove the tree if it's not giving any fruit anymore, etc. And it then has this weird element of don't cut down fruit trees. It's actually not good for your soul. So it kind of has both. It has a law attached to it.
Time is 7:20. I'm chatting to Ilana Steyn. She apparently is not the Jewish Greta Thunberg. Maybe that's just because she's actually been to school. But she, you're not averse to flying on an aeroplane necessarily. You don't go, you know, you don't go to Bloemfontein by boat when you go. So yes, she's not our very own Greta Thunberg, but we're talking about sustainability with, as it comes out of, from a Judaic perspective and, how this connects to everything that we look towards in terms of sustainability. I'd love your thoughts on it. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Gimple says, I loved everything your guest said until she said woke is logical. She did not say that. Oh, wow. No, in fact, you didn't.
I said the opposite.
Exactly. She said exactly the opposite. It doesn't.
Sorry, Gimple.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, what I understood Ilana said was that today there's a lot of hysteria around environmental and sustainability where there doesn't need to be. We need to bring it back to where sustainability is actually logical. It's not about being woke. It is actually about being logical. Is that an accurate?
I'd say logical, aiming for balance.
Right.
So the idea is use, don't abuse. Of course, make use of the world, enjoy the world, build, make technological feats. It's fantastic. But just be aware of some of that there's other stuff around you.
But we are becoming more aware, aren't we? I know we are. And yes. I immediately resist anything that I perceive as being woke. So.
Exactly.
But we are becoming like that. I know at home we try to use a lot less plastic and we watch right. things more and we, you know, just do things a little bit differently.
Exactly.
Because we're aware of it.
100%. I think people weren't aware. Then I think there was a lot of hysteria, and where Greta does come across hysterical, on the other hand, I think she did make a lot of people think who had not thought before.
Right.
So I will give her that.
No, because it's almost like a piece of paper that's bent in the wrong direction. You often have to bend it in the other direction and kind of come back to something that is a bit more normal. She should not yes. be Time Person of the Year, in my view.
Your house is burning, Howard.
My house is, and how dare I? How dare I, indeed. All right, let's go to news headlines, followed by Louis Karpus with the sports. After that, we'll be back with Ilana Stone. I want to understand, Ilana, from you, is how we can be, and if it possibly links in to the Jewish way of life, but how we can look at sustainability without the hysteria. Time is 7:36. Thanks, Louis Karpus. Interesting, in fact, this comment around Pelé's health. I saw an article yesterday. These are the top 10 health conditions affecting millennials today, and it's actually quite horrific. These are the 10. Listen to this. Number one is depression. Number two is substance use disorder. Number three is alcohol use disorder. Then hypertension, hyperactivity, psychotic conditions, Crohn's disease, high cholesterol, tobacco use, and then number 10 is type 2 diabetes. Now, what is interesting about that is only 1, 2, 3 of them are traditional medical conditions. So depression, there's depression, substance abuse, alcohol use, hyperactivity, psychotic conditions, tobacco use. You know, obviously I'm not suggesting that mental health is not a health issue. Of course it is. But what is interesting is how dominant it is on the top 10. Very, very interesting time. It's 7:37. I'm Howard Feldman. Joining us there in studios, Ilana Stone, and we are talking about sustainability. Ilana, give me your thoughts.
Okay, so I just want to define again what sustainability is, because it speaks to this balance that we've been talking right. about. And sustainability, the most often used definition is it is development in the world that meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs.
Okay. So it is a bit loose because we can decide that without the Mall of Africa, right. you know, what right. are our children going to do? But on the other hand, you know, I get it. I suppose
that's
it should be a push and a pull, and it should be a debate, and it should be a discussion, because
correct.
We should contemplate these things before we move forward, in inverted commas.
Exactly. Mm. And I think the fact that within Judaism, the law that is the base of sustainable development, actually, which, as I mentioned, is this law about going into war, is quite an interesting one, because you would think that when you're at war, everything goes. You can cut down everything. You can destroy everything you want. And yet, within this particular context, the Torah actually says, no, you can't.
Right.
You actually can't take down those fruit
right.
trees.
Right.
You need to go find some others. And if you can't, well, sorry for you, basically.
Mm.
So that's the base. From that extrapolates out a number of different ideas and laws that all deal with the idea within this law, actually, is that idea of not wasting or not using in a destructive way. So, in other words, don't take a fruit tree, because to destroy the fruit tree is to destroy wastefully.
Right.
As opposed to destroying with a need. So, we acknowledge that there are things that you can use and destroy as long as you need them, and that's what the sustainability statement
right. Well, you've just
needs.
Been renamed. Anton L. says, are you talking to Ilana Sustainability?
Oh! My lord.
That's terrible. I think I would stick with Greta Thunberg. Ilana Sustainability. Well, there we go. You've been renamed on the Morning Mayhem by one of our listeners. So there you have it.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But it is a fascinating thing, this whole idea of fruit trees. I didn't actually realize where it came from. I just thought, you know, you can't cut down a fruit tree. And then we've got this whole thing of not, and I don't know if that is halakha or if that is custom either, that we can't cut the, we can't take the fruit from a fruit tree in the first few years. What is that all about?
Right. So that's, possibly has an environmental angle.
Right.
What's interesting, and I think what you've mentioned is really interesting, is once you start looking, in Jewish thought, in Jewish law, you'll find trees everywhere. So if you think about it, in the second chapter of Genesis, so right at the beginning, you've got God planting a garden, and he's not planting cucumbers and tomatoes, he's planting trees.
Interesting.
Okay, and interesting. So the commentators match that to the law of what you mentioned, which is called Orla, because that law says when you come into the land and you plant trees, you may not use the fruit for the first 3 years. There is an understanding in biology that the fruit, that you need to leave fruit on the tree and not pick it. By picking, you break that connection, and it causes the tree to grow, to develop in a certain way, which the first 3 years, it's actually quite important that they don't. So you leave them on that tree. Then the fourth year, you take that fruit, you go to Jerusalem, which is also an acknowledgement of the fact that this is a bigger picture than you. It's not about you and your tree. It's also you, God, the tree, the nation, etc. So, that is also one of those laws that you could call environmental. You've got Shemitah, which really is about crop rotation as well. So leaving the land fallow, we know, is something that's important today. We know this today. 2,000 years ago, perhaps they did know it, but didn't even think to mention it because it was so obvious.
And I guess it was so much less of an issue then, because people were agricultural. They were, the land is what actually quite, I mean, of course, it feeds us today as well, but we're so disconnected from it because we popped down to Woolies to get to buy our Israeli tomatoes. So, it does disconnect us from it. So we don't really have to care. Or we don't think we have to care, but we do. Rakhadi says, finally, a rational conversation on the climate. Thank you.
Wonderful.
And Rakhadi, that's exactly why I did ask Ilana to come into studio, because, certainly people like me, I react quite poorly to the hysteria around it. And,
me too.
And exactly. but because I'm not involved in it, it's hard for me, if you'll excuse this, phrase, it's hard for me to see the wood for the trees. it's that, and in conversations that I've had with Ilana, I realized that there is a real balance, and we don't need the hysteria. We actually need to be aware. We need to be responsible and rational, irrationality cannot own this conversation. And what we're doing here is taking back the conversation in a logical and rational way.
Exactly.
That's really the point. And in fact, what I've said to Ilana is we definitely need to be doing this kind of conversation at least once a month and talk about about sustainability. And how we can create an environment that doesn't impact negatively on us right now, but we can look to the future. And I really do believe that in all of our homes, and that's the next conversation that I'd like to invite you back for, is how we can just look at our homes and say, let's do an audit of our homes and say, how do we change simple things. I know that that we look at we try and use one of those spritzing machines, soda stream ones.
Okay.
Yeah, so we try and use a soda stream because then you're not using as much plastic that you're throwing away.
Correct.
This type of thing, and because that's now in a glass bottle which you're washing. It's
100%. So I think it's an awareness. We could go to laws, and truth is that they're trying legislation, etc. But I think very basically, if each person is aware that they're on this incredible planet that's filled with beauty and that's filled with good things, one step at a time. The environmentalists, the reasonable environmentalists, talk about the idea of think global, act local. And I think that's, so you can think bigger picture, but don't rant about it. Just do one thing at a time.
And we can go to school. So we don't need to tell our kids not to go to school every Friday.
I would love to encourage everyone to go to school.
And there you have it. Time is 7:44. Ilana Stain, thank you for this conversation. We will certainly have you back because I do believe it's a very, very important conversation for us to have. Time is 7:46. Just as Ilana was about to leave studio, we're going to chat to Anthony Reich. But Ilana, you mentioned this pangolin. What is it?
It's pangolin.
Pangolin. No, I like pangolin. No, yeah.
You've been saying it wrong.
Have we been saying it wrong? You've been saying it wrong.
We are always being
You're always.
Here.